This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Eddie and Dorothy Wise are African-American couple who wanted to live closer to the land. Eddie comes from three generations of farmers. So together, he and his wife dreamed of raising hogs on their own plot of land in North Carolina. And in the early 90s, they took the first step to realizing that dream. What followed is what Eddie describes as more than two decades of systemic racism by North Carolina's branch of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency. Now, those are the people who are supposed to help farmers get loans and plan a profitable farm. At every turn, Eddie and Dorothy saw their farm loans delayed or denied, and it all culminated when they were evicted from their land in 2016. Reporter John Bewin captured the Wise's story for Reveal, a radio program and podcast for the Center for Investigative Reporting. Otherwise, John is a producer for the podcast Seen on Radio from Duke Center for Documentary Studies, and he joins us now. Welcome, John. Good to talk with us.
Good to be back, Frank.
It is good to have you here. John, Eddie Wise is on his way, so hopefully we're going to have him here if all works out well. But let me ask you, to maybe summarize this story, because Eddie and his wife was not a farmer. He decided to go back to the land. So tell us about that decision for him.
Right. So his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather were all sharecroppers, and he grew up working on helping them on the farms and so on. But he was determined to own a farm, not to work for somebody else, as he put it. And so he went and had a military career. He was a Green Beret and Vietnam and so on, and he taught in the ROTC programs at Howard University in Georgetown. Anyway, 30 years later, he is ready to buy a farm and finds a 100-acre farm in Nash County near Rocky Mount. And he and his wife, Dorothy, buy this place set out to buy it in 1991. It took them 5 years and relentless fighting through what they describe as relentless obstruction by the loan officer in Nash County.
Now, talk about this, because it's kind of a two-step process. First thing you have to do is get a loan for the property, for the land, right?
Right. So every step. So go in and ask for an application for a loan. Well, we don't have any applications. Really? You don't have an application? Well, so Eddie goes and finds an application. Bring it in. Will you help me fill this out, which they are supposed to do by law? No, I won't help you fill it out. I'm sure you can do it. Eddie finds somebody to help him fill it out. Well, here's what's wrong with your application. You don't have good credit. You don't have this, that, et cetera, just relentlessly pushing through this resistance until finally the loan was approved. Then they get an operating loan also. So they buy the land, they get an operating loan to get started. There's some repairs that are needed in the hog buildings on the farm. That loan is delayed. The operating loan is delayed, causing after they've committed to buying hogs. So they get hogs in the buildings. The buildings aren't weatherized. They're almost their entire herd freezes to death in the first winter, 1997-98.
And here's Eddie Wise now talking about that and the need to get that loan in a timely way, a loan that he would have expected under normal circumstances would have been approved. And so he was moving forward with this land because obviously the longer it takes you to get crops in the ground, or in this case, those pigs to market, you're paying interest on the first loan. You got to get things moving. He gets it moving, but they stall the loan. And here's what happens.
He drug the loan process out for 7 damn months.
Eddie had to call off the repairs, but he had already committed to picking up his hogs.
So by the time we got ready to bring them home in September, over half of them was already pregnant. And I had nothing but an open building with nothing but concrete floors. There were no curtains. And I had got some rolls of plastic and, you know, tried to put up makeshift curtains to break the wind from blowing in there.
Winter nights in North Carolina often dip below freezing.
Newborn pig comes out at 90 degrees, and he hits a concrete floor, and you're talking about 4 or 5 minutes before he's dead. I had a little over 400 pigs to freeze to death.
That's Eddie Wise talking on a documentary radio program, the podcast Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. And I'm speaking with the reporter, John Biewen, who produced that episode with Farmer Eddie Wise, who is featured in the story. All right, let's take a step back, John, because historically racism has played an important part in African-American farmers. And it goes way back. And finally, in the 1990s, this stuff was finally exposed. But it had been going on for a long time. Tell us about the history of this.
Right. So there was a major lawsuit filed by a North Carolina farmer named Timothy Pigford in the 90s that resulted in a major class action lawsuit that was settled. And it was found that there was systemic discrimination throughout. Now, it tended to be in the South, but that's because that's where the black farmers are and were. And that basically this kind of thing that Eddie faced was systemic from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. At least that's what was documented in the lawsuit.
And it had been going on really since after the Civil War, 40 acres and a mule. And what had happened, of course, was that the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, administered this, but it allowed local counties to do the administration. And so they were the ones, they were the point of contact, and it was their culture and their ideas about who should and who should not get a loan that historically have driven these decisions. I mean, here's Eddie talking about the efforts that he had just to, in his encounters with these loan officers.
The Goodable Net had an unwritten system. If you walked in the FHA and you were black, the first thing they did was close the books. And they said no to anything that you asked from that point on. They said it didn't have applications. If you got the application, they wouldn't tell you how to fill it out. And then when you finally got it filled out and turned into them, then they hit you, oops, we're out of money.
That's an excerpt from the episode of the radio program and podcast Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. And I'm speaking, that was Eddie Wise, and I'm talking with John Biewen, who is the reporter on this. So how much of this, again, was, and he runs into and finally finds a supporter and someone who can help him, someone in the person of Carl Bond. Tell us about Carl.
Carl Bond worked for 32 years for the Farm Service Agency in North Carolina. That's the what it's called, the branch of the USDA that does this business of providing loans for farmers. And Carl was, for many years, the only African-American loan officer in the state. And Eddie found him when he was having trouble dealing with a white loan officer. This is back in the 90s. And Carl helped him get through that process of getting his application filled out, eventually getting a loan. And then later, because the problems persisted, a state director who was a Clinton appointee just took Eddie's, the Wise's loan away from the white loan officer and had Carl service it and work with him, and worked with him for about a dozen years to keep him, to service the loan, ease the terms and so on, and keep them on the farm.
Well, and again, I want to take a step back and talk about why this hadn't been. I mean, again, this lawsuit is won in the 1990s. It had been going on for decades and decades. Why weren't things cleaned up once you have the lawsuit and you have demonstrated that racism is at the heart of all of this? Why didn't things get cleaned up then?
Well, it's basically, as far as we can tell, nobody was fired. There was no real effort to clean house in the USDA. The messages, and we have heard from people that under the Clinton administration and then under Obama, that the message from Washington on high was, we treat everybody the same, and that there were some concrete efforts made to try to train folks and so on in the county offices so that they would, and to put in some checks and balances and so on. But as Tom Vilsack, who was the Secretary of Agriculture under Clinton, under Obama, as he told me, and an African-American manager in the North Carolina system for many years, said the same thing, and that is, when you have a decentralized system like that, you have human beings, and of course there's still discrimination.
Right, because the local culture is what prevails. Here's Carl Bond, who was helping Eddie Wise out, the African-American officer who worked with Eddie, just talking about some of the irregularities that he spotted and trying to help Eddie through the process.
He came to my office. He said, would you assist me with this application? I said, well, yes. I said, but didn't you ask the loan officer that you got it from? He said, yes. We asked him. He said, you are a retired officer from the United States Army. Y'all should be able to do it.
Is that a normal thing for a loan officer to say, to decline to help a farmer looking for a loan?
No, we was required and still is required that if a farmer needs assistance to help them fill out the forms.
That's Carl Bond, a former farm loan officer with USDA's Farm Service Agency. An excerpt from the radio program and podcast Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. I'm talking with reporter John Bewin about this story. There were other irregularities, including doctored documents that you discovered along the way.
Well, yes, and what appears to be, yes, there's and this is that comes forward now, long after the Pigford Black Farmer Settlement, we're talking the 20-teens here, and what led to the Wises' foreclosure and eviction from their farm was that their loan, ultimately their application for continued loan servicing was declined. And there's a document that we found in their file in which Carl Bond, helping them with the farm plan, had written out the numbers. Here's how many sows they have. They're going to produce this many piglets per litter. It's going to result in this number of cows. They're going to, or sows, pigs. They're going to be slaughtered and bring in this amount of money. And someone went in and changed the number, apparently. Carl had written 10 piglets per litter. Somebody wrote under that 8. And that seemed to be an explanation for how their application was initially approved by the computer and then and then denied.
And they found this through a lot of persistence. I mean, Eddie is working hard. He's trying to run a farm as well, and he's having to put. So let's put some names to this. The loan officer who refused to help Eddie in the first place, and then said his name is Sidney Long.
Yes,
is he still around?
He's still around. I spoke with him briefly on the phone. That's probably about a year ago, and he simply said, I'm not going to talk to you about that.
Now, what about Paula Nichols? What's her role in
She this? Is currently the farm loan chief for the FSA in the state of North Carolina. She was the loan officer who took over after Carl Bond retired in 2011, and he'd been working with the Wises for a dozen years. He retired, and she was the new loan officer who took over for him. It was during in working with Paula Nichols then that things went south again, and the loan application was denied, and they were ultimately foreclosed
as a result of the doctored documents. Well, what about that? Is there any action that Eddie can take based on that?
They have a lawsuit pending in the Court of Federal Claims, and but I'm not sure that it even addresses directly those kinds of things. I'm not clear on that, honestly.
Meanwhile, last year, it all came to ruin. Eddie ultimately was evicted, right?
Yes.
Let's listen, because you were there when the eviction was taking place. The marshals walk onto Eddie's land. They give him the bad news, and you were there when it was happening. Let's listen.
And here they come around that curve. White SUVs and squad cars, 7 vehicles in all. Officers spill out. I count 14 men and women, mostly U.S. marshals with a few county deputies as backup. Some of the marshals carry semi-automatic rifles.
Come on down.
Why are you doing smart, sir?
My dogs don't bite.
Sir?
I said, my dogs don't bite.
A U.S. Marshal, the leader of the operation, approaches Eddie and presents the papers.
Deputy Coney with the Marshal Service. You obviously know what's going on.
Okay. The judge, I know you all. Come.
Yes, sir. There's a foreclosure judgment that's been issued against you and a seizure ordinance. So we're going to have to remove you from your residence this morning, and there are certain items that are going to be taken. Okay.
My wife is sick.
Okay. We'll work with you and give you a reasonable amount of time, but you are going to have to get your wife and vacate the premises this morning, sir. Okay. And there's items we're going to be seizing on your property. There's a full list in here, and this copy is for you.
That's an excerpt from an episode of the radio program and podcast Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. I'm talking with reporter John Bewin. That was Eddie Wise, who is featured in that report, who lost his farm after systematically being denied or having his loans delayed for his farm in North Carolina. So what did he lose?
They had a 106-acre farm, and it had there was some fields and a big garden, but it was primarily about the hog buildings and so on, and their mobile home, and weirdly, 3 dogs that Eddie had had since they were puppies that were pets, and the marshals took those too.
They talked about his wife being sick. Talk about Eddie's wife.
Yes, she had diabetes already at this time and was kind of needed a wheelchair to move, and so that when they were evicted from the farm, they needed, you know, to sort of assist her. Her health has since gotten worse. She had both of her legs amputated, I think it was last fall, and she's in a nursing home now in Rocky Mount.
How much of this, the eviction, the loss of his farm, is due to the fact that these loans were delayed?
Well, the initial hole that they got in from the story we heard earlier about
they lost all the pigs.
Losing virtually the whole herd in the very first year of operation was a hole they never really dug out of, and they were trying to kind of scrape back. And he had no more additional loans with which to buy a new herd of hogs. So he's basically trying to breed, trying to, you know, find friends who would sell him a few hogs cheap, that kind of thing, and gradually had a herd. He had 250 hogs. I had that's how I met them, was 2008 and 9. I did a 5-hour radio series called Five Farms, in which they were one of the farmers I documented. They had 250 hogs then, and they were making some money, but that's a pretty tiny hog operation. And
and they've got a lot of debt. I mean, there are still loans.
Exactly. They're
right?
trying to have to pay their debt. Right. And they had off-farm income. Fortunately, he's a retired. He has an Army pension. Dorothy had a pension from her career at Howard University. They had Social Security checks. If not for that, so they were sort of gentleman farmers in a way, you know, supporting their farming habit. But they gradually were getting to where they were making some money, and they made some payments on the loans, although just basically interest or even parts of the interest. So their loan actually got bigger over the years. Carl Bond was keeping them going. But when he retired, basically folks seemed to decide that, well, enough of that. Party's over.
Party is over. Yeah, but is it over? And to what extent? I mean, it is apparent to all of those with eyes that racism is at least implicated in this. What recourse does Eddie have? And to what extent does the fact that there was this lawsuit in the 90s give him any stronger case to make that he should not have lost his farm?
Yeah, I don't know that the lawsuit helps. For one thing, the Wises probably could have gotten, there was a $50,000 payments that were given to farmers who participated in that class action. They chose not to, actually, because that was, Eddie felt, not nearly enough to compensate for their losses. But there is a recognition. I don't know. They've done a lot of this mostly without real legal representation because they can't afford a lawyer. So I think that they haven't really managed to get it into court where the merits of what happened to them could actually be looked at.
Do you have any sense of how widespread this is? I know that you were focusing on Eddie's story, but do you have any sense of how widespread this is?
Well, it's hard to say. There are certainly other black farmers out there making allegations of discrimination. But it's hard to get there. It's hard to get numbers, and the USDA actually wouldn't give us numbers about discrimination complaints and what happens with them.
Well, Eddie Wise has just gotten in, and first of all, I deeply appreciate you being here. We're sorry that we told your story behind your back, but I know you may have taken a wrong turn. So welcome, Eddie Wise. It's a pleasure to have you here. I've only allowed you about a minute or so, but I'd like you to give us a sense of sort of how you feel about all this. We think we've recounted much of your story.
In reference to what me and my wife have been through for 22 years?
Yes.
It takes a little while, but basically,
Eddie Wise, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want to interrupt you now. I want to take a break. And then when we come back,
okay,
I'd like to talk to you some more.
Okay.
Why don't we do that? Talking to Eddie Wise now, who is the featured in a documentary that appeared on the radio podcast Reveal. And we'll talk more with him. And then hear some music from Blue Cactus. All of that's coming up on The State of Things, so please do stay with us. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow, talking with Eddie Wise this hour on The State of Things. He is the subject of a documentary by reporter John Bewin, who's a producer for the podcast Scene on Radio. This was a podcast that was broadcast on Reveal, which is at the Center for, not the Center for Documentary Studies, the Center for Investigative Journalism. Eddie Wise is the subject of that. Eddie Wise, we talked about the fact that you lost your farm ultimately because of the delays. What do you think was happening here? What do you think was responsible for all of that?
To be straight up, it's simply you had people that juggled the figures, changed the figures. For instance, my pig production was 11.5 pigs per sow, and they changed it to 6. And you just crash and burn instantly because there's no way it's going to cash flow with only 6 pigs.
What was your sense when you went in and were asking for help and not getting it? What did you think was going on then, those initial meetings?
The individuals that I had to ask just ignored me. Even when I went to the state director and he gave me $170,000, the loan officer sat on it for 7 months. And that can really take you out the back door.
What happens in a case like that? You say, look, I've been approved for a loan. Where's my loan? What kind of response do you get?
Well, they will say, they're out of money. Right. That's the first thing they use. And then when you confront them with the fact that you're not out of money, they say, it hasn't been approved yet. So every time you get through one stumbling block, they stick another one there. And I would challenge them as to why they're out of money.
Did you have any sense that this kind of thing might happen when you got into this business?
Not the faintest idea.
What was it like for you day those marshals showed up?
I got blindsided. I knew they were coming, but they were supposed to be coming to take my equipment. Instead, they came not only to take my equipment, but to put me and my wife, who was in bed, sick. I was fine. They told me, you have to go in and wake your wife up. This is now federal property, and you have to get off of it.
Where's your wife now?
At the Life Center in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. They are helping me care for her.
What are you going to do now?
Well, I got 2 farmers that I started a year ago working with, and they had no hogs. And each one of them have 100-some hogs apiece. And even when you think you're over the problems, for instance, they gave him a contract for 10 pigs, right? So when they got ready to take the pigs to market, they only took 3. So he said, what are we going to do? I said, give them 3 pigs and don't say anything. I said, because there's a lot more behind this than you imagine. I said, I'm building your knowledge so nobody can prevent you from producing. I said, and I have 2 of you guys paying attention. 1, pastor, won't listen. So we decided to just let him go his merry way, and I just concentrated on building there.
You didn't take any legal action?
We did, but like everything else, when we tried to sue them, they said it was unfounded. And when you got the people at the head saying it's unfounded, people at the head changing files and changing records, it's, you know, it takes every bit of the strength in me just to address the issues rather than to blow up. I think basically it was geared towards blowing it up. Because on the day they came to put us off the farm, they had 16 U.S. Marshals on with automatic weapons. And they handed me a stack of paper and said, Mr. Wise, this is federal property now, and you have to get off of it. I said, my wife is in the house. I said, you go in there, wake her up, get her off the farm.
Suffering from severe diabetes?
Yes. And 2 months after that, she had both of her legs amputated. So we've been through some hard times, but we don't give up.
Eddie Wise, former hog farmer in Whittaker, North Carolina, the subject of an episode of the podcast Reveal for the Center for Investigative Reporting. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Also talked with John Biewen, who is the producer of that episode and the host and producer of the podcast Scene on Radio, S-C-E-N-E. From the Duke Center for Documentary Studies. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. John, thank you very much as well.
Thank you so much, Frank.